listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood. This is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have two lovely ladies tonight who are friends of the stars and making trailblazing, you know, paths of their own. Miss Gina Lombardi and Laura Kepler. Say hello, ladies.
Hello. Hi, Nikki. Hello. Thanks for having us.
Woohoo! So we were talking about it briefly right before the interview started, but how did you two meet? Let's get into the nitty gritty.
Well, we met. Yeah, we met.
We never talk over each other. In our podcast, we never talk over each other. And now we're doing it.
How is that possible?
We nice each other to death. That's what we do. But go ahead, Laura.
It was about 10 years ago, I guess, now, that we both were judges for the Miss America's Outstanding Teen competition. So I actually thought, Gina, because your last name is Lombardi and I'm from Wisconsin, I thought there was some connection to the Packers there. Did I ever tell you that?
No, but yeah, he's in our family tree.
What? For real?
But I never went like to, you know, a family reunion, you know.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's not in your bio. It should be in your bio.
I know, but you know what's so funny? I could be in a store and there might be like a 16 or 18 year old boy behind the register. And if I hand him my card, he sees my name, instantly will ask me if I'm related to Vince Lombardi.
That is crazy.
So funny.
What is the relation out of curiosity?
Somewhere in our family tree, somebody in my look.
That's awesome. That is so epic. I've watched so many like documentaries on him. And you got to be a Green Bay Packers fan just because you're from Wisconsin, right, Laura?
I am. I mean, of course, I have to be, right?
It's like a rule.
I don't know the most about football, but I am a Packers fan, so yeah.
Well, it's in your blood, and it's in both of your blood, apparently. So that's awesome. Yeah. Gina, you have an Italian last name. Do you have Italian roots? Do you have family in Italy?
You know, I don't even need to do 23andMe because it's Italian 100% all the way down the line.
That's awesome.
100%. Yeah.
Well, you have the Italian last name. I've spent a lot of time in Italy. Laura, you and I have a parallel background because I actually studied opera in college. And I saw in your bio that you did too. And I actually spent a lot of time in Italy. And I fell in love with the culture. And my band plays Summerfest every year in Wisconsin. So I have such a love of Wisconsin. So I'm connected to both of you ladies in this awesome way. But we're going to talk about you guys tonight. So you guys met at a Miss America teen competition. Laura, you first, you won a Miss America pageant back in 2012. Tell me like what that experience was like and how that shaped you coming back to kind of be a judge. And Gina, tell me how you also got involved. We'll start with Laura and then we'll go to Gina and then we'll make it all happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange now because I'm almost 10 years away. You know, away from that, and Miss America is celebrating actually on Thursday its 100th anniversary.
Wow.
So it's really cool to be part of an iconic organization like that. And my experience was wonderful. You know, I participated initially because I was graduating college. I studied music. I went to a private liberal arts school. I had a lot of money in student loans. A lot of, you know, loans to pay off. And I kind of thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this music and vocal performance major at the time? You could maybe relate. And so I kind of thought, you know, I could maybe buy a little time to figure out what I was going to do. And
You're like, I'm just going to win the Miss America pageant to buy me some time. That's a great, I like that thought process. I like that a lot.
No. I didn't mean win that to buy me some time. I just meant go through the process. I thought maybe I could, you know, it would be like a year of my life or something.
And what you usually start with the cities and then you go to state and then you go to the Miss America pageant. Isn't that how it works?
Right. And so initially I was introduced to it through a member in my, one of my music classes. And she said, listen, talent is a big part of the competition. You sing, this may be an easy way for you to perform, to be on stage. And also you could earn some scholarship dollars at the same time, because that's what the award money is. It goes to, furthering your education, paying off student loans, you know, paying the school that you're currently in.
That's awesome.
So I kind of thought, why not, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. And so I did, and it, you know, put my life on a different trajectory and course. And so,
but it's also, you do so many cool, like, philanthropic things, you know, once you win that title, that makes you give back to the communities. It's like, you know, it's a really cool achievement, because first, you have to go through a whole mess of competitions, and then you get there, and then you win, and then that's really where the real work starts, because you have this title, and it's about how you impact your community and the people around you. And tell me a little bit about that experience, and then we're going to switch gears to Gina so she doesn't fall asleep on us and get bored.
You know, you did your homework on this. You
of
know
course.
Quite a bit.
I don't mess around, of course.
Yes, well, you do. You spend a lot of time in your community working with a lot of different nonprofits and grassroots efforts. I spent my time advocating for at-risk youth that had particularly parents who were in prison.
Wow.
So I did a lot of work with organizations like Big Brothers Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Club,
awesome.
All the way down to like really small grassroots efforts. I worked with a camp once that was really cool, a summer camp that only had kids who attended who had parents in prison, and all of the camp counselors were only also kids who had or have parents in prison.
Wow.
So I was able to do a lot of really cool work that you don't get to talk about a lot, because there's so many other facets to the organization, but those are the things that I, you know, that I hold near and dear to my heart, and I'm able to look back fondly on, no matter what the state of the current organization is in the future, you know?
Right. And Gina, you have a huge background in physical training and working in Hollywood. Did you grow up in Los Angeles?
No, I grew up in Philadelphia, right outside Philly.
Man, that's awesome. I love Philly.
Okay. You know, I know you asked me a question, but I'm stuck on the fact that you performed with Placido Domingo. If my father was still alive, he would be flipping out right now.
Yeah, I did six operas with him. I did Carmen, Tosca twice. I did, what else?
Othello.
Othello, that's right. Othello was the first thing I did with him. And, you know, the funny thing is I met him and, you know, everybody was like talking about who he was, but I was, you know, a kid, you know, at the time. So I just didn't think it was that crazy. But then I started hearing him sing, and it was kind of like really remarkable to watch him work. That to me made me realize this guy's a real gift to the craft, and he really is on so many levels. And yeah, it's just the music has always been a huge part of my life. So, you know, what I love about this radio show is I get to meet so many artists and people from different facets of entertainment, and we get to talk about how their lives shape their experiences. And that's what makes everything so fascinating, because you're learning stories about people, where they grew up, how they took these pivots in life to kind of like change either their surroundings or elevate or ascend. So I just love stories so much. So, you know, in reading both of your bios, I'm like, man, this is going to be cool, because these stories are so different and so complementary too on so many levels. So you started out in Philly and then,
you know, went to high school, went to elementary school, high school, went to University of Penn, to college.
Wow.
And then immediately moved out to LA, because I just felt like I wanted something different, something
right.
bigger, something more exciting. Although Philadelphia is a fantastic place to be from. There's so
Philly's
much history.
Awesome place.
There's so much music. There's so much talent in Philadelphia. It's just incredible. So I love that I'm from there. But
right.
I've actually lived in LA now longer than I lived in Philly.
So where's home? Yeah. Is LA a home now or is it Philly?
Philly will always be my home, but LA is definitely my second home for sure.
Okay. I'll accept that. I've toured all over Pennsylvania and Philly has my heart because it's just such a great city. It's a vibrant city. And I just love Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There's so many states that in this country that are just so different. So what brought you to Los Angeles? Was it the working with celebrities? Did you act? Did you have a theater background? What brought you to LA?
Well, my first 2 years of college were music and music performance, which a lot of people don't know because I don't do it. Like that, it's just not part of something I put
in your bio though. Come on. It's your room.
I know. Isn't that crazy? So awesome. Piano performance and, did a lot of music back in Philly, but, I sort of shifted gears and decided to go to school for science. So
that's a great background too, of course.
Yeah. It seemed more practical. Like, Laura was saying, what do I do with my, my vocal performance degree or whatever, my dad had that conversation with me. He's like, okay, are you going to try to do music for a living? Think it through,
Right.
And so I decided to go into dental hygiene and then became a registered dental hygienist.
Wow. That's awesome.
So I moved out here and it's not that simple because you have to take a state board. Every state that you want to practice in, just like doctors and lawyers and, everybody has to take their state test. So I had to do that. I did that. I'd worked as a hygienist for a little bit. But I really got into working with celebrities because one of my first jobs when I came here, I just needed a job. And by asking friends, somebody said, hey, there's an opening for a receptionist at a public relations firm. Huh. And I was like, I don't even know what that is, but I'll take it because I was so green. I did not even know what a PR firm was. So I wound up working at this PR firm for 6 years. And I went from being on the phones for about 4 weeks to being bumped up to an assistant account executive. Wow. And then eventually an account executive. So I started working with all these celebrities. And one thing that I noticed was that whenever somebody got a role for a big film or a TV series, and maybe it was somebody that wasn't that well known yet, they immediately went into panic mode. Oh my God, I need to lose weight, especially if it was a female. I need to lose weight. I need to get into shape. I don't know what to do. So I shifted gears and was one of the very first personal trainers because this was 31 years ago.
Wow.
It was a long time ago.
Did you just were you always active? Were you kind of always doing different kind of forms of exercise or was it something you kind of took on and started studying the art of it?
No, it was something I'd always been in my whole life. I have five brothers. We were always working out in the basement with, really rustic, hardcore, dumbbells and barbells that were rusted.
That's crazy.
And my dad was really into it. The whole Charles Atlas thing. This is going way, way, way back. Laura, your dad probably knows about that, although your dad's younger, but he probably knows about Charles Atlas. But it was, it was a perfect segue for me because I also worked in a sports medicine facility while I was going through college and right before college. So I always had that fitness thing on my mind, but I never knew it could be a career because when I became a trainer, there were no other trainers.
Right. It's such a huge part of the industry now. Now all these celebrities that you probably know, they all have personal trainers for roles or on the daily. I have to ask, do you guys ever work out together? And who's beating up who?
You tell them, Laura.
We have worked out together for 10 years. And I'm always the one who's getting beaten up.
But you know what's great?
No,
I was going to say what's great about you, Laura, is she wants to be beat up because she's a hard worker. She likes to work hard.
Right.
She's not, willy-nilly about working out. She's she's into it.
That's awesome. No, it's so important. I always try to give myself little goals. I've run 2 marathons. I will never run another one ever again. But I like doing things like that that kind of give you some kind of goal to be out there and just kind of push yourself because it helps your endorphins. It pushes you to kind of be out of body and out of mind too sometimes. It reduces stress. I mean, there's so many positives with it. So it's definitely a great thing. How did you both kind of during the pandemic, now that, you know, gyms are closed, how did you kind of both work out or kind of try to stay active during that lockdown?
Well, that's an easy one because, you know, Laura kind of bounces around a lot into different places. So over the 10 years, we had already been working out on FaceTime.
Wow.
So this was seamless for us. I mean, it was not even a glitch at all because we were already working out over our phones and computers. So that was no problem.
Now, so you guys do like Zoom workouts?
Yeah. We still do.
Like once you just say, okay, we're going to do Pilates or we're going to do aerobics or we're going to run or we're going to do weights. Like, what is your workout regimen?
Well, hanging at the bar is something that we do, right? And
that's easy.
Although it's B-A-R-R-E. That's our little joke, right? So we do all kinds of stuff. We do like a ballet bar workout that's not easy. People think it sounds fluffy, but it's not. It's really hard. We do some Pilates stuff. We do weight training. She's got just, if I can say this, Laura, a fantastic gym at her home, which is awesome.
That's awesome.
So I'm just kind of guiding her through as we go through the hour.
And believe it or not, it's really, you know, it's kind of amazing what we all learned during the pandemic because we can do stuff like this now, you know, technology. We can do workouts via technology and it's really no different. You were just not in the same room. You know?
Right. Well, it's like you have to be creative too. It's like you have to use, you know, like gyms were open to the public and all of a sudden they shut down and people started getting either creative by building gyms in their homes or they were using bands or they were coming up with different things. Like, you know, just I feel like, you know, it's such a big important part of life that, you know, you're out and physically active and just, you know, creating that kind of positive space for yourself. And, you know, it's amazing that you guys were doing it via Zoom with each other because that's commitment. That's like, okay, this is not face-to-face. We're going to just do this. Tell me how that translated into you kind of joining forces and doing a podcast together and kind of wanting to, you know, impact people's health and lifestyle.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because over the pandemic, like we were working out pretty, you know, regularly. In fact, my book, I swear, I copied pages out of this book for people. As soon as the pandemic started, I started getting emails and texts from people. I don't know what to do. Right. So I started Xeroxing pages out of my book and taking pictures of them and sending them to people. It was so funny.
That's awesome. But
Laura and I were working out one day and we're like, you know, we always wanted to do something together and we were going to do a book together. And then we were thinking about a TV show. And then we wanted to do something, but we didn't know what. And every time we would be working out, we noticed that one of us or at least Laura, because she has little kids, she would be interrupted.
Right.
So we're like, gosh, you know, everybody, how about this pandemic? Like this is a huge interruption.
Right.
So we came up with the idea of doing a podcast called Health Interrupted.
And great name.
Yeah. And we are on our 44th episode.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I know, you know, you had to be nervous. Well, let me ask you, because I was nervous for my first one. I think we're on like year 8 or 9 now. But the first one, I remember being so nervous. Were you nervous or was it kind of like supernatural when you started this journey together?
Laura, you want to tell them what we were doing?
And I'm sorry, you guys. I can't see if I don't have my glasses on. I tried.
That's
and I know
right.
You can see my screen in the middle. I'm trying to not have that happen, but I'm really.
It's all good.
I'm seeing if I don't wear them.
No worries.
Interrupted right there. We recorded our first. Oh my gosh, we were so nervous. Do you remember, Gina? And we were like, we had this script and we were trying to follow it exactly. And then we were cutting each other off. And then, you know, when you host something with someone else, you have to really be in tune to their cues and who's going to say what. And then if, you know, we do have a script and we prepare, you know, very, you know, adequately. And so if someone asks something that's ahead of what's written, you have to be able to do that tango, you know?
Right.
And we were not used to that in the beginning. And after that first one, we were like, oh my gosh, maybe we shouldn't do this. You know, maybe we're not meant to do this. And we were like, no, this, it's just new. We've got this. And we did, we stuck in there. And now it's like, know.
Well, it becomes like a flow. You get into this like zone of like, you know, and I also know it's like at first you probably started out being very scripted or having bullet points, and now it's become like this natural conversation. And those tend to be the best shows when you're just able to have a conversation that people are getting the chance to witness. You know, those I find are the best interviews or the best podcasts. And those are the ones I also follow, because you just like have ideas and you're sharing them and it becomes this, you know, really interesting conversation. Did you have any kind of obstacles that you hit where you were like, how do we fill in the space when dot, dot, dot? Did you have any hiccups like that?
Wow. I'm trying to think. I mean, we both of us are preparers. Like, we don't wing things. Like, we, it's just our nature as individuals. So we were always really prepared. I don't think, we had one interview. I cannot say the person's name because, you know, the episode is up. But everybody's going to be thinking, who was
You'll
that?
You'll have to email me later and tell me.
What are you going to say? I'm curious.
She doesn't even know. And well, let me just say, we wound up, it was like an hour and a half interview. We wound up cutting almost an hour of it out.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
That one.
Yeah. So.
Long-winded.
It was a boring interview, or was it, what was it?
It kind of turned into a therapy session, I think. And it was like, we can't use this, you know? And that was like, at the end, we were like, gosh, what do we do about that? You know, like, thank God we can edit. You're live. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing.
Right.
We can do. Yeah. Yeah. So not you being know, live has been helpful, actually.
Laura, you were about to ask something. What were you going to ask?
Well, I was thinking about the interrupted portion of this. And since we did come about this in the middle of the pandemic, and we were all, you know, we all had our health flashed before our eyes.
Right.
It just became crystal clear how important it is to be healthy and how important it is to take care of your health. And that's sort of how we zeroed in on the health interrupted, even though we were all interrupted in our everyday life. Mm-hmm. And what we've learned is it's not so much about the interruption, it's how you carry on, how you get back up, how you continue on. And what we've seen is actually that people take that and use it almost as a catalyst to do right. something bigger and bolder and be this, you know, incredible version of themselves that maybe they never would have been had they not gone through what they went through. So we found it really inspiring, and it's been a gift to us to do as well. You know, it's my,
well, and it's also, you know, you both have families and you have to like pivot a little bit and still make, you know, health and lifestyle a priority, because it's like, you know, health and lifestyle is like one of those things where you're feeding yourself the oxygen mask. And it's like, if you give yourself the oxygen mask, you can deal with whatever obstacles on the table. But if you're not giving yourself that, you kind of feel like you can't take on anything else, because you're still just trying to, you know, hold yourself together. So how was that how was the pandemic lockdown, or even starting this podcast, a pivot for you to carve out that time for yourselves, either more in the direction of health and lifestyle or for the podcast?
Yeah.
Good question. Yeah. Oh,
that was a great question. What a great
segment. Nailed it. I was hoping you knew.
Well,
for me, I loved it because, you know, I have a 16-year-old boy, and he was never home. He was always at school, and he does all these extracurricular things, you know, basketball, volleyball, theater, cinema arts, all this stuff. So, he, you know, we'd be picking him up at 8:30 at night. We wouldn't see him all day, you know, week in, week out. When the pandemic hit, he was home for a year and a half. And to me, that was the biggest gift, you know, and he did real well with it. I think, I don't know if you did, but a lot of people gained a few pounds over COVID. And now they're starting to come off again. That is so natural and so normal, because you're not doing that fast paced life that you were doing before the lockdown. So, I mean, I think we all need to give each other some credit. You know,
I think also too, it's like, you know, the pandemic, if anything, it taught us, okay, whatever you thought was important, it's going to shift to what's immediately really integral for just life, like just your life experience, you know? So if that's being healthier, for me, it was like, I started going to the beach 3 times a week and bodyboarding and playing tennis and doing things like that, because my gym became not, you know, 24-hour fitness. It became go into nature or be outside and, you know, mm-hmm. exercise on that level. So there had to have been these pivots for you, you know, on some level where it's like, you know, your mental well-being changes focus. Tell me how some of that changed for both of you. Laura, you go first.
Well, I had just, my older son was 4, turning 5 at the time, and I had just had a baby in February, and, you know, everything kind of happened in March. So I was kind of going through my postpartum during all of this, which was really
intense. That's heavy.
To say the least.
Right.
And, you know, my older son was in preschool and then he came home from school. And so I was just juggling, like so many parents, how to be home and not have a break and then do virtual school and still find the time to carve out for myself, like we're talking about. And what was actually really nice is that we were outside so much. I was outside with my kids. I would take my older son to bike. We'd bike ride. We went on bike rides together every day. We'd walk every day.
That's awesome.
And that's one of the biggest gifts, you know, Gina and I talk about all the time, is that we are able to model how to live healthy to our kids. And then to be able to incorporate that together during such a long extended period of time was now I think we all look back and we're kind of like, I wish the circumstances weren't there, but right. Could we maybe get that time together again? Because, you know, life is getting busy and we're all sort of back to it a little bit.
Right. It's kind of weird. So there's an ebb and flow. It's like it shows you to kind of focus on family and the things that are immediately important in your kind of nucleus. And now life is slowly starting getting back to, okay, that was the time to do that. Now let's get back into the swing of things. So how has that kind of helped you to adapt to getting back into the flow? Gina, you go first.
You know, it's the old, I know this is a cliche term, but like check up from the neck up, you know, remember that old term? Well, mental health really became, you know, the focus, I think. Right. Because it was a lot of stress. We didn't know. We've never been through a pandemic. We didn't know what was happening. We weren't sure if what we were hearing on the news was, you know, legit.
Right.
Everything changed every week.
Right.
You know, I mean, just, it was crazy. But I think it was really great. I saw, like, in my family, we all started meditating regularly.
Wow.
And we started doing things that maybe I always did, but my son and husband never did. So we have pictures of us. I was looking through my camera roll. We have pictures of all of us outside, and somehow I snapped a picture because I wanted to remember it. But we're all out there with our eyes closed doing brain.fm, the app.
That's
doing,
awesome.
Like, meditating in the sun, like just laying, you know, sitting in the sun and meditating.
That's great. Better.
Even the dog was laying there too. It's hilarious. But so many good things came out of it. But now that we're sort of getting back into that regular pace again, I think a lot of people, and I do too, you feel like refreshed sort of.
Right.
And a lot of people have switched jobs. They're not going back to what they used to do. Maybe they've taken a step back and the pace is not quite as fast as it used to be, because that was killing us.
Right.
That super fast pace was killing a lot of us. I know for me.
Without us knowing too. That's what's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the car. I figured it out when the pandemic started. I was in driving for 6 hours a day.
Wow.
Going to my clients' homes, because they're not, you know, I don't work out of gyms. I only work in people's homes. So that is a lot of driving, a lot of sitting.
Yep.
So it'd be like drive.
A lot of traffic too. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of traffic too.
It's horrible. I mean, even going, you know, 2 miles, there's traffic.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So it was tough.
And what about you? What about you, Laura? How did you kind of adapt?
Well, I've just tried to remember what we learned. You know, I try and slow down when I'm home and, you know, find the little moments with my kids that are what is important. They're the precious gems, you know. And I think for my family, it was such a good time because we had just had our little guy and we were home. We had that time to really bond as a family, which we never would have had, you know, we all would have been running around. My older son would have been at school. And so for me, it really brought my family together in a really great way. And I've just been trying to savor those moments as life has gone on. You know, I've tried to not forget. Like, that's one of the things I really am sticking to is, like, I really hope we all don't forget what we learned during that time, because what a waste it would have been.
Then, well, and it's also, you know,
for those of us who are fortunate and healthy and didn't go through it in the way that some other people did.
Well, and it's also, it makes you realize, like, how grateful a grocery store being open during that time was for everybody. I always have to tell the grocery people, I'm like, if you guys shut down, the whole world's going to riot. So thank you. Because, like, you know, if that was the case, people wouldn't know what to do. It would just be a all out pandemonium, you know? So it's weird how certain things kind of like made you kind of focus on home life. And, you know, for me, I'm a, you know, traveling musician all the time. And it really just was awesome to kind of like have that time, just reconnect with family and just like focus on that, where it's like, okay, let's push pause, you know? So when did you guys start doing the podcast? Was it pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, post-pandemic?
Wow, Laura, was it, okay, so we launched February 17th of this year. So we started it in, we started really putting it together like in September of 2020.
Wow. So you were in the pandemic.
Oh yeah, we were in it. I mean, we were talking about it for a couple months, and then we started actually working on it. And then we launched on the 17th of February, and we already had like several episodes already in the can. So we were ready to go.
That's amazing. And like, what kind of people are you pulling in to just, you know, brainstorm or interview and be a part of the podcast?
Well, we started out, we really wanted, you know, like most, because Laura and I both know a lot of famous people, a lot of celebrities and stuff, but we didn't want to start there.
Right.
We wanted it to be real stories of real people with real health interruptions that just blossomed out of it and became greater than they were before their interruption. And one person that I absolutely love that we interviewed, and I know Laura does too, is Stephanie Victor. She was a USC film student. She had just graduated. Yeah.
I went to school. All right.
Right. And she was taking some things out of her trunk of her car, or putting some things in her car in front of her apartment building. And a 16-year-old drunk driver hit her and pinned her against her car and pushed her about 30 yards. And she lost both of her legs.
Oh, my God.
And she lost both of her legs right up at the hip. So not like above the knee or below the knee. She lost her legs.
Wow.
And it changed. First of all, it's a miracle she survived it.
Right.
And one of the common threads we see with many of our guests that have had serious tragedies like that happen is they had the will to live. They wanted to live. And she went on to become a Paralympic world champion.
That's amazing.
And she's won so many medals. And it's skiing. Oh, she's skiing.
What?
Not even in a sport she ever did. Yeah. Thank you, Laura. Not even in a sport she ever done before.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's insane.
How did she even think about like becoming involved with that? Like, you would think that you would need your legs or something like that, but that's that's definitely something that you have to relearn. Even if you know how to ski and that happens to you, you have to relearn the whole art of skiing. So
that's right. Imagine. Wearing prosthetics apparently is not an easy thing, especially when you lose your entire leg. If you just lose your lower leg, the prosthetic apparently is easier to use and attach and to, you know, be comfortable with. But her story is just extraordinary. And you have to listen to it. We're not going to tell you every detail, because you know what? When you got to hear it in her voice.
Right.
You hear her voice and you hear the emotion that's still there after all these years. She's in her late 50s now.
Wow.
Okay, this happened when she was in her 20s. And that emotion is as raw as can be.
What's amazing when something like that happens to someone and they're able to, I think if something like that happened to me, I would just crumble. But you see like this fortitude in people that is like so beyond inspiring that, you know, just being in that, around that energy is intoxicating because you're just like so amazed and in awe. It's just, how did you even connect with her? How did you meet her?
That's a good question. Well, I have a dear friend who is head of Shane's Inspiration, which is a charity where they do beautiful work. They make playgrounds for, physically challenged kids and young adults. Okay. And they put these playgrounds all over the world. In fact, I don't know where you live, but I'm in the Encino area. Okay. And one of those playgrounds is right in Lake Balboa at the lake. So they're all over the world though. It's incredible. So I was on a Zoom charity event with Shane's Inspiration and Stephanie Victor was receiving an award. And I thought, oh my gosh. And she stood up and she had two prosthetic legs. And I said, we need to know her story.
Right.
I want to know everything about her. And she had so much energy. She was so effusive and so full of life. And I said, I need to know who this girl is.
Right.
She's amazing. And Laura's like, absolutely. So my friend at Shane's Inspiration connected us. And actually, Shane's Inspiration has connected us with several of our guests. Just amazing people. Evan Ruggiero, an amazing actor, singer, dancer, lost his tap dancer, was it his left leg, Laura? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. His left, I don't know. The lower leg to cancer at age 19. And here he is doing a show like equivalent to Broadway in DC. He's doing Beauty and the Beast, and he's the Beast.
What?
Tap dancing.
He has a peg leg for his prosthetic leg when he dances. And so he actually makes sound with his.
That's wild.
No, you would actually really like him. He was so cool and so talented. And he actually said the percussion is better than if he had two regular tap shoes.
That's crazy.
We've just, and you know, as I'm hearing you say this, Gina, and when we're talking about the pandemic, which we haven't kind of talked about in a while, it's so cool because we were inspired during the pandemic through these stories. And I think our guests were too. We all sort of needed that in the middle of it to say, you know, we can do this together. We can get through this. And so it worked dually.
Well, and it's like that human connection. I mean, we're talking about what we all went through. This is like a therapy session for all of us. I love it. Well, it's like, you know, human connection was halted. You know, you weren't, I remember driving around LA and, you know, like I grew up here. So like when I saw LA like a ghost town, it felt very strange. It was just like, this is not my city. This is not how it is. And so that human connection, when you're able to connect, even through a Zoom or a podcast or an email, whatever it is, it kind of lifts the spirit in such a simple way that we kind of forgot about when we were pre-pandemic, you know, because you're in the hustle and bustle and you just lose the value of human connection. But now what's really kind of beautiful about all of this, you know, despite all the lives lost, is there is a real reverence for human connection that I think we all did not really have. We all took it for granted, including myself, you know? So what's so cool is now you want to find these stories and you want to, like kind of follow that curiosity to see how these stories impact all of us, because that's what it's about. It's about all of us being a part of this jigsaw puzzle that is the world and life, and us connecting and seeing how each story can affect and change us. How did your two stories change and affect you guys?
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, like you two, you've done this podcast. How has your connection changed? You know, like how has your connection with each other impacted and changed each other? Because that's what's happened. Like you started this podcast, whether you like it or not, you're influencing each other. And I know that because, you know, being in a band or being in a couple bands, you just start becoming a family and influencing each other. You two have now become a family on this, you know, journey together. How has it changed and impacted your lives, and how have you influenced each other?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, because we were friends. I know, stop up with the good questions. Wait, write these down, Laura. We'll use these on
our own. That's right.
No, it's really good. And I'm sorry I didn't quite understand.
No, what that's okay. There. It's all right.
But, well, for me, like, Laura and I have always been friends since we met, but we really got to know each other doing the podcast, because when we were just working out together, and mainly on Zoom, sometimes face-to-face, but usually not, usually on FaceTime before the pandemic. I'm talking the last like 10 years.
Right.
Just because we were in different places. We didn't, it was almost, I don't want to say topical or superficial, but we didn't really know each other that well.
Right.
And now that we've been-
Just natural.
Yeah, because yeah. You know, we'd go work out, we'd have fun. I wanted it to be fun for her. Like, we didn't get into talking about problems and stuff. You know, like, it was more like, let's work out, have fun. This is uplifting. It's you know, you want to feel good. And then when we started doing the podcast, it was kind of funny because the first like month of us preparing for it, we were, can I just say, we were idiots, right? Like, we were so
That's
funny.
How it starts, though. That's how it starts.
I know, but it was so great because, and we were cute. Okay, we were yeah. cute.
Because... Do you remember our Sunday work sessions? We would, oh my God, we'd block out these like 4 hours on Sundays. And we were like, this is our time to work on this. And we spent the longest amount of time on like the smallest things. Now we do in like 2 minutes.
It's so funny. We spent so much time on stuff we don't even think about anymore.
Right.
Because, and I know you too. Like, you're right. Such a pro. And but you have to start somewhere. And even though right. Lars had tons of media training, I've had tons of media training, you know, and all that stuff. When you're doing something new, like a podcast, it's like, well, how does this work? We don't right. know. And, you know, we're like researching stuff on YouTube, and we were so funny. But it also brought us closer, and we really got to know each other and trust each other. Because when you're co-hosting, it's, you really have to trust the other person.
Totally.
And you have to have the other person's back. And I'll just say it. This is candid. I know this is live, but Laura's like, what is she going to say?
She's got her arms crossed. She's like,
No, I'm just kidding. I forgot what I was going to say now. So see, no, I lost it. Yeah.
You were about to give Laura a huge compliment.
You're right now. You were like, something. It's candid. It's live.
Yeah. Okay. So I remember now. Okay. I remember now. You know, sometimes one of us may be really tired, or one of us may be down about something. And then we go into the podcast and we want this to be a great experience for the guest. And so, and you just have to have the other person's back. Mm-hmm. You just have to have them. If they're, you know, tired and they can't, like, maybe one of us can't keep up with the questions or isn't listening like as much as the other, as they should be. I don't know if you've, cause didn't you have a co-host, or don't you sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah. A guy named Eddie Pence. And we did.
Oh yeah. He's a comedian.
Yeah. He's a comedian. So we did it for years and years. And then we started doing, we were always in a studio doing these, and that just became more of a time commitment. And that's also what the pandemic was so great. It's like, now I choose like, when are we going to go in the studio? When are we not? If a guest is like, I really want to do this in the studio, let's do it in the studio. Because of the rain and everything, I'm like, they're probably going to be cool with just doing it at home and just being at home, you know, but we'll have to do it again in the studio. But yeah, it's just like, it changes the way your environment is. Like, what I also love, I love doing the podcast at home, because that time of driving to the studio and driving back to the studio is completely eliminated. So it's like, there's something that's so just, quote unquote, homey about just doing it at home and just being able to just, you connect and then you disconnect, and you put all your energy into that time. So I know what you mean about carrying the other and just kind of like lifting somebody up and kind of also erasing, you have to erase your day no matter what happened and kind of connect with whoever your guests are and just with each other too. And that sometimes is not always easy because of all the things that we know are going around us, you know, so going on around us. So, you know, Laura, I wanted to ask you, with your Miss America experience, you know, you were always being asked questions. What was it like being on the other side of the microphone and kind of asking questions?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's way less pressure.
I'm not being put on the spot anymore. Right. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I was. Yeah, it's kind of cool to have the roles be reversed. And I really get into it. Like, I really like to, you know, think about the sequence of, you know, how we're going to, where we're going to take the conversation. And and truthfully, I've always preferred to be on the other side. And even with music, I would rather teach my voice lessons than be the performer myself. And so I've kind of always liked to be on the other end of it, sort of. I haven't always ended up there, but I like being on this side of it.
Well, it makes you also kind of appreciate both sides. You know, it's like, I also teach music and I, you know, I love performing. It'll always be my thing, but there's something about like you, as you're teaching somebody something or as you're asking, you know, a guest questions, you're asking them questions or you're teaching them something that you wanted to learn or engage at one point. So it's like, you know, like one of the reasons I started this, I've done so many shows across the country, morning news shows, TV shows. And like, it was always like this surface conversation. And I used to always think, man, I got up at 5:30 in the morning to do this 15-minute interview. And we just talked about surface things. And then after the interview, I'd get to know the interviewer or just like, you know, get a hang out of it. And I was like, this is the part of the interview that actually should have been on TV because this is more interesting, you know? So what's cool about being on the other side that I've learned, it's also like you get to take in more stories. You get to understand and ask questions that maybe you were at some point not asked. So you get to ask these like nitty gritty questions. Like, you know, when you guys started your podcast, I asked you about the nerves because I remember the feeling of just being so nervous before because you're just filling in space. You're just like, blah, 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 let's just talk nonstop because you're like, I think people just want to hear us talk all the time. But it's actually like this give and take that creates this power and this energy. So now that you guys are seasoned vets, and you are seasoned vets, 44 shows in, you're a seasoned vet. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you find that there's things that you still want to do with the podcast to grow the podcast, to grow the audience, to grow as hosts? I should say hostesses.
Hostesses. Yeah, exactly. Constantly. I mean, we are always pushing and learning and talking to consultants and figuring things out and, you know, trying to figure out new ways that we could reach more people. We are creating a community because we want people to come to us. And, you know, we get tons of emails from strangers saying, oh my gosh, I listened to the John Mendoza episode. John's a comedian. You know, he had a heart attack while he was driving. Wow. He was doing leapfrog with Howie Mandel and he started having chest pains.
Wow.
I mean, some of these stories are just unbelievable. And people are listening to these and contacting us and saying, oh my gosh, I had a similar, or I had this interruption happen to me. And I love that they're reaching out. You know, we really love that they're reaching out because by listening to the podcast, everybody's going to find a little bit of themselves in there and they're going to get something out of it. Plus at the end of every episode, we engage the guest in our health seat. Okay, so if we had you on, Nikki, we would ask you to give us tips. We should do it right now.
Oh, I'm curious now.
Yeah.
Let's
put him in the health seat.
Okay, uh-oh, so here we go.
Every guest we have, we ask them for tips or biohacks in four categories. And they are nutrition, fitness, mental, spiritual, and beauty.
Oh, okay. I love all this. This is amazing.
So let's see if you can come up with a nutrition tip.
Okay. Okay. I find this works more than anything. What you think the amount is that you need to eat is usually a lot more than what you actually need to eat. So I'm like figuring that out, which is great. And also I think, you know, there's so much good, healthy Mediterranean. I think Mediterranean food is one of those diets that they built their whole cuisine on being healthy and like using food as nutrients for energy. So I find that like, you know, eating in that kind of vein where it's like kebabs and protein with vegetables and kind of, you feel good. It affects your mental state. So I think that's a huge part of it. And also just having a balanced, like, I think balance is everything. Like when people are extreme, I'm sure you both know this mentality. When people are extreme with anything, I don't care if it's music, if it's filmmaking, if it's health, if it's exercise, if it's sports, if they're totally extreme about it, where you can't connect with them about anything other than that, then you realize there's an imbalance. And what I find that one of the most important things in life is to be balanced. Like, have other activities, have things in your life that kind of keep you grounded. You said mental, spiritual. For me, being in the ocean, I realized with the pandemic, I have to be in water. I am a water man. I have to be in the water to feel this sense of zen, to feel connected to earth, to ride waves. There's something that I've always been drawn to about it, and I've connected more to it now. So, and I, you know, with music, music works in waves, sound waves. So I realized waves, that ebb and flow of energy is everything to me. So it's like during this, everything's been about connecting to sound waves or nature's waves and being in water, and then just trying to, you know, use that to be creative, because I feel like people can either be creators or destroyers. We see it on the news all the time, people killing other people, people shooting people, people robbing people. I think there's only two types of people in the world. There's creators and destroyers. You both are creators, obviously, because you're starting this podcast and you've taken all of your experiences into making it something, and you're creators. You're creating, you know, on behalf of your life experiences, and that is impacting people around you, and it's creating this journey. I feel like that's everything. If you can find some way to tap into creative energy and marvel at the beauty of it, then you have found a completely balanced circle of what it really means to exist.
Dude.
Beautiful.
Woo-hoo! Well said.
I'm like so tapped into all those things. I love all those things.
Oh, but that's so great. So imagine 44 guests so far, and we have a lot more coming that are already, like, we're already recording. Everybody gave us what you just gave us. Everybody gave us a nutrition tip, a fitness tip, a mental spiritual tip.
And they're all different, I'm
a
sure.
A beauty tip and a call to action. We have a call to action at the end of every episode.
Oh, I love this. It's like hero's journey. Yeah. I love it.
Because, you know, we really wanted people to walk away with something. We wanted them to hear a great story, but then we wanted them to get from the guest things that they could do in their life right now that'll make it better, right now, today.
Now I'm going to counter this. I want to ask you both a question that I ask all my guests.
Yeah.
What was the moment of zen that made you want to create this podcast, and how has it fulfilled your life from that point on?
Well, for me, it was...
You both lit up. I love it.
I know, we did. I wasn't sure. Because see, this is so funny because we watched each other's faces.
We both went...
I know. If Laura goes like this and then backs down, then I know she wants me to go, and then and vice versa. But for me, as we were developing this idea, I got so excited about it. Like, I was like, oh my God, we could reach so many people, and not just in the US. When you do a podcast, you know, what you're doing right here on LA Live, this is worldwide.
Absolutely.
So you never know who you're going to touch, you know? And we had a doctor on last week, Dr. Daniel Amen, who is a world-renowned neuroscientist, he calls himself. He's a psychiatrist, but he's not like your average psychiatrist. He has really pioneered the whole brain health field.
Right.
And he doesn't really believe in the drugs and all that stuff. There's natural way. He believes in doing scans of the brain so you can really see what's going on with someone. He doesn't like the term mental illness. This episode I've gotten so many emails and text messages and DMs on Instagram about this episode because it's changing people's lives.
Right.
And we're not even the ones, we're not even the doctor, but because we had him on, and people heard it.
You facilitate
their lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the coolest thing in the world.
That's the reward. I feel like it's like seeing the impact on that level. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Laura, please.
Laura, what about you?
Well, you said moment of zen, and the way it started for me was not a moment of zen. It was a moment of chaos.
that leads to a moment of zen.
A kid on my leg and the other one climbing on my back, and Gina and I were trying to work out, and I was like, this is not working, but somehow we always make it work. Kids or no kids. And for me, it kind of came through a practical means, I guess, a practical experience of being interrupted. And that's very relatable. You know, everyone is in our daily life. And what was the second half of that?
Like, how has that, you know, enhanced your life experience because of that?
Oh my God.
Started this, you know, like as a journey, and now it's like broadened your whole horizon. Like everything that you are connecting to and how you're connecting to each other and how you're connecting to others has just been, you know, heightened. So how has that changed or, you know, enhanced your life?
Yeah. I needed it, truthfully. I needed the inspiration. I needed personally the encouragement. And it really sort of helped me kind of come into my own a little bit, come back into my own, because I had sort of taken a hiatus from anything, you know, in the arts, I guess you could say, or, you know, being on camera and even music. And so I was really nervous. Like, I was very shy and I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to put myself out there again. And then I did, and I was so happy that I did, because it serves me so much as it serves everyone else who listens. So I feel like if it's inspiring to us, those that are involved, I feel like we are doing a good job, because if we didn't listen to it.
And I'll tell you too, it's like one thing I've noticed, you know, I started this, you know, like I said, 8 or 9 years ago, and you never know who you're going to run into and who you're going to meet and connect with. What I've noticed, what I love about this show, it has completely opened my Rolodex, you know, to take an old term, and completely brought people into my stratosphere that I probably never would have met or connected with, because I'm always working in music. So that's what's going to happen. You're going to see for both your worlds, and you're already seeing it now for sure. 44 shows in, you're definitely seeing it. That your world and that your all your connections is just expanding. And as it expands more and more, you find so much more gratification in what you started and being consistent about it. So I wish you both so much luck. You lovely ladies are amazing. And I can't wait to, you know, listen to your podcast. Where can people find you both, and where can people listen to your podcast?
You can listen to all of our podcast episodes on our website, which is healthinterruptedpodcast.com. We're also on iTunes and all the other streaming platforms wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Awesome. And You guys have Instagram or website, you know, handles you want to share, or do you want to just make it about the podcast?
Well, on Instagram, at Health Interrupted Podcast is our Instagram. On Twitter is at Health Int Pod, because somebody else took the other name.
No!
Who are you, people that buy domains and things like that? And then we have our individual, you know, social media accounts. I'm at Coach Lombardi across the board. So Coach Lombardi is my name on all the social media stuff. And then Laura is at Kepler Laura.
Yeah, Kepler Laura
on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, I added you back, usually both on again, and talk about how your podcast has expanded. You both are lovely people, and thanks for being guests on Wake Up Hollywood. We appreciate you guys. We need more podcasts, so please never stop doing it. Keep impacting the world. Keep connecting to each other. Keep sharing, you know, the knowledge, because that's what we need, all right?
Thank you, Nikki. But I have one small request before
we end. Please.
Can I hear you sing something?
Oh man, what do I have? Let me see if I got a guitar.
Give me a little something, something.
Yeah, I'll play something. Hold on. Oh. All right, I'm not.
Laura, you knew I was going to ask him.
I knew it. Don't ask me. You know where I go with that.
Hey, never stop singing. It is a real gift.
Oh, I know.
All right, I'm unplugged, so you're just going to hear.
All right,
I'm going to play. I'll play an old song. This one's called If I Could. I could live forever, would you be there by my side? If I could be a dreamer, would you be the star in my sky? We could be together, would you hold me when I cry? If I could make the world sing, would you help my spirit fly? Oh, so high, when the days of sorrow come into my life, will you go tomorrow and leave me in my strife? Oh, I say, I guess some things in life are better left unsaid now. There's room for doubts and fears and questions in my head out. Your love is like a dream, never gets me drunk, so I wish you could decide if I could be the truth be to your heart. The truth be to your heart. The truth be to your heart. Thank you, ladies, for a wonderful interview. You both are awesome people, and I hope we connect in person. Let's do it in the studio next time. I wish you nothing but good health, good spirits. Stay healthy, stay inspired. Lots of love and light to both of you, okay?
Thank you, Nikki. You Thanks too. To we you. Adore you.
Likewise, likewise. Be good. Give your hugs to all your family, okay? Because that's what we need. We need more circles of love, just kind of, you know, shining bright.
We do. Thank you so Thank much for having you. Us.
Happy holidays, guys. Be good.
You too.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.